Well, good morning, everyone. If you are visiting, I am Pastor Theo. I am the family pastor here. Pastor Peter is away. He's actually gone for the next two Sundays. And if you think about it, keep him in your prayers. The next 2 weeks are actually really busy and hectic for him. This first week, he is actually serving at our annual meeting. And he serves on a board called the Board of Ordered Ministry, which is, it's involved with the discipline and restoration of clergy. And so it's a very intense board that he sits on. So be praying for him this week. And then the second week that he's gone, he's actually speaking at family camp up there at Pilgrim Pines, which is a lot of fun, but it's also, it's intense, having done some camp speaking myself. So just keep him in your prayers these next couple of weeks. In August of 1978, which is, you know, less than a month after I was born, sorry about that, there was a song that was released, or an album that was released by the London-based rock band The Who, entitled Who Are You? The title track tells the story of a real-life experience that band member Pete Townshend experienced, where alcohol was getting the better of him. In fact, later in the song, he uses the line, there's got to be another way. And so in self-reflection from this experience, The Who sings, who are you? Who are you? Who? And now that song is in your guys' head, so there we go. But I think that's a question that we ask ourselves, isn't it? Not just when you're a high schooler who's trying to figure out what you're going to do for college and a major and where you're going to go. It's a question we ask not only when we're in a midlife crisis trying to figure out how we're going to make the last half of our life count. And it's not just a question that we ask of ourselves when we're facing retirement and we're looking at leaving a career behind. It is a question that we ask ourselves on the regular. And I think the Bible gives an answer with incredibly rich ramifications for our lives. So I ask you, who are you? Who? Scripture answers this for us, so please turn with me in your Bibles to 1 John 3. If you did not bring a Bible, there's one in the chair underneath in front of you. You know, I often have to tell students that there's a difference between the Gospel of John and the book of 1 John. Then to quote the famous Knight infomercial, but wait, there's more, and then they're surprised to find there's two smaller books, 2 John and 3 John. So if that's all you learned today, to quote the famous Michael Scott, the important thing is you learned something. I will be reading 1 John 3, verses 1 through 11, from the New Living Translation. See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children. And that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. Dear friends, we are already God's children. But he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him. For we will see him as he really is. And all who have this eager expectations will keep themselves pure, just as he is pure. Everyone who sins is breaking God's law, for all sin is contrary to the law of God. And you know that Jesus came to take away our sins, and there is no sin in him. Anyone who continues to live in him will not sin. But anyone who keeps on sinning does not know him or understands who he is. Verse 7. Dear children, do not let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, even as Christ is righteous. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they are children of God. So now we can tell who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. That's one of those verses. There's several in the Bible that you just like, some make you cringe, right? That's one of those. This is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Will you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. I thank you that you have called us to live lives that reflect you, that our identity would be found in being a child of God. Forgive us, Father, when we choose all these other things as our identity, when our primary identity is your child. Thank you for your grace and your mercy and forgiveness when we forget that fact. In Jesus' name, amen. A few months back in the high school group, we had a series entitled My Faith. I created the presentation to look a lot like MySpace, which is the grandfather, there we go, the grandfather of social media apps, whatever app people use today. And just like when filling out a biography for a new social media app, I had students answer some just different biographical questions. And so in small groups, I had them just take a piece of paper, write, I am at the top, I am dot, 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 and then just list as many things as you can think of that you would be using and filling out your social media biography with. Answers included student, athlete, girlfriend, musician, someone in drama, all these different things, the things that they were pursuing, so many different things. And then and after a minute or so, I said, all right, how many of you put Christian on there? How many of you put Christ follower on there? And a bunch of the, because we were working in small groups, and a bunch just kind of looked at the ground, and I think one group had it higher up on the list, but admittedly, the rest of the students had to confess that, it was lower there on the list for them. And before we get critical of teenagers, because they're just living in the world that we created for them, right? The question for you is, how long might it have taken you to write Christian or Christ follower on your list? I think so many of the things that we face today in our culture, and even that stuff that has seeped into the church here in America and has caused us to compromise, is a direct result of us losing our identity as children of God. And it causes us to disconnect from our lifeline to our identity, and then we try to find our identity in everything but children of God. This week on social media, I asked for some crowdsourcing help. I asked, what are some things outside of our relationship with Christ that we use to help shape our identity? Some of the responses included parent, spouse, career, political party, nationality, sports fandom, sexuality, education, socioeconomic status, musical taste, introvert versus extrovert, trauma experienced, a hero you aspire to be like, how others see you, or even birth order, though middle children can't use this because they're not noticed by mom and dad anyways. I'm a middle child. How would your life be different if you looked in the mirror, asked, who are you? And the answer was child of God before any other of these forms of identification. In fact, of the things that I mentioned, I don't want those to be my identity. Part of my story? Yeah. But identity? No. See, I was particularly interested in the response of trauma. And we all have some kind of trauma. Many of you who've attended here for a while know my story. I was raised by a father who had undiagnosed bipolar disorder. That's traumatic. But that's not my identity. Even the fact that I have a good relationship with my dad now and that God has healed me, that's not part of my identity. It's part of my story. But to say that that is my whole identity would be inaccurate. I want my identity to be as a child of God first, and then trauma and anything else second. I want my reputation to be as a child of God first, and then career and politics and all these other things that we could, you know, bring and line up. Those need to come in after the primary calling as a child of God. You see, as children of God, we are to reflect the character and nature of God the Father. Being a child of God first should have direct influences on every other thing that we include in our story. That should not be the primary identity markers for who we are. My faith in God the Father as a child of God should influence, for example, my politics, and not the other way around. It should influence how I serve in my career. And I don't just say that as a pastor. This goes for every other career that's out there. Child of God first, career second. Being a child of God influences career and how we serve and work. We are to be the answer to our prayer every time we pray. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You can be the answer to that prayer when you live primarily out of the identity as a child of God. 1 John 3, verse 1, the second half says, the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. We are to reflect the character and nature of God so much that people look at you and say, what's up with you? You're a little bit different. What is up with that? 1 John 3:3 says, all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure. So our hope for eternal life affects how we live life this side of heaven. We know that this is not all that we're living for, and so we will strive to live pure lives as children of God. Verse 9 says, those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning because God's life is in them. We should be pursuing righteous living, shouldn't we? And through God's strength, look to give up sinful habits. And yes, we do have our sinful habits that we are, you know, we just kind of put up with sometimes, right? Oh, I do have a gossip problem, but don't we all? You know, or criticism, or just any of those things that do not reflect the nature of God the Father. 1 John 3, 10 and 11 says, anyone who does not live righteously and does not love others, other believers, does not belong to God. This is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. We are to truly love others, not just give love a lip service and say that I am, but you're really not. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that you can do all these things and you can do them amazingly well, but if you do so without love, you are just a noisy, annoying gong. And so we have to stop and pause and ask ourselves, am I a child of God or am I a noisy gong? Does your life look like Christ? Are you living a primary identity as a child of God? First and foremost, beyond, above anything that might be a part of your story. I want you to do something with me. There in your seats, put your hands out. Close your fists. We're going to take 30 seconds, and I'm going to ask you to pray. I want you to ask God, is there anything that's getting in the way of me really living like a child of God? And as the Holy Spirit brings something to your mind, let it go. And then ask God the Father to continue to make you more like his image, and the Holy Spirit can strengthen you in that endeavor. Will you pray with me? Father God, make us more like you. Help us to live out the primary calling as a child of God. And these things that we are hanging on to, that are getting in the way of living fully into that identity, I pray that you take. Help us to live into that, to look like you, to live like Jesus. Amen. So as I said, because we are children of God, we ought to reflect the nature and the character of God. In my family, we have some standards. We have some things that make us who we are, things that are distinctively Wilsons. As a family, we have a soft spot for the marginalized and for the hurting, for the underdog. We emphasize caring for those who are in need. My kids know this very, very well, and they know that their friends are always welcome in our home, no matter their religious affiliation or sexual orientation or any other thing that might become divisive to some people. Their friends are welcome in our home, and we will love them. As a family, we love to have fun together. Those who follow me on social media, you know that's true. And we have family rules that fit within this fun-loving Wilson character. When one of us is upset by something that has happened, and it just so happens to be a Friday, my wife reminds all the family members in group chat that Friday is no felony Friday. We don't commit felonies on Friday. If somebody upsets us, we can't commit a felony against them. I'm not sure what that says about the rest of the week, except my wife also says that Thursday is no throat punch Thursday. So if you want to offend the Wilsons, make sure you do it on Thursday or Friday, and don't do it on whatever I just said. There we go. Anyways, but these are key Wilson family distinctives. We love others. Everyone is welcome. We love having fun. And we don't commit felonies on Fridays. In fact, I'd like to invite my daughters to both come up on stage with me to help illustrate the rest of the sermon. Now, recently, a couple weeks ago, Luke Morissette over here in the middle school group, he said, "I don't think that Parker is real. I think that you made her up." Like, I think your daughter in college is just, you know, somebody that, you know, I invented to have good stories, right? And different illustrations. And so I'm going to sit in between the two of you. Here we go. Is this the first time that you guys have been in church together?
Yeah.
That's so weird. Here at least. Thank you. Yes. So but, you know, we candidated here with only one of the kids, and then you came out in July when we moved out, and you were working at camp, and then you went to college, and you came back, and wow, that's so weird. Okay, welcome to church. I'm Pastor Theo. There we go. Okay. My kids, even just looking at them, these two are vastly different people, aren't they? Vastly different. Now, both Parker and Gianna are my children, okay? We look alike. We look alike, right?
Yeah.
Do we look alike? No. Actually, when she was younger, she looked a lot like me, and now, yeah, so anyways. But both these kids are, I can swear to this, they are both my kids. Now, one of them has a poker face, and one of them doesn't, and she's already been revealed. Now, since they're both Wilsons, and we have raised them with our different standards, both of my daughters care very much for the hurting and for the marginalized, but they both do it very, very differently. Okay, so number one, Gianna is my snuggler. There we go. Okay. Oh, come back. Okay, there we go. Yeah, there we go. As a kid, I loved it when Parker was sick because that's the time that she would snuggle with me. So there we go. But in caring for the hurting, Gianna wants to hug all the victims until the sadness goes away. Parker has a strong sense of like biblical justice, and she wants to go after the systemic issues that causes victims to happen in the first place. One wants to hug the world, the other wants to save the world. These kids are just so exceptionally different that when we go on vacations, we have to make sure that half the vacation time is for outdoor things and that the other half is in like city stuff. Like, you know when kids freak out about like, you know, the amount of soda that they get in a small cup and parents have to like go down and like measure? We do that with young adults for vacation. But these are my kids. You know, the funny thing is Parker is 1 year out of high school and she feels like the statute of limitations is up, and so she's what's wrong? So she feels that the statute of limitations is up, and so she's starting to tell these things that she did in high school that she was actually sneaky enough to get away with, or at least she thinks she was. But the truth of the matter is that she's telling me things. And don't judge my daughter. Like, you guys, you were sneaky in your day, right? Yeah, there we go. And if you say you weren't, you forgot. But as my daughter tells me these things, most of them, I'm just like, oh, that's what I would have done. I use the word most, right? Most of them. We'll talk about that one. And because you don't have a poker face, people are not going to wonder. But both my kids have incredible strengths. Both my kids have glaring weaknesses. It's just part of being human. Can we just take a moment and appreciate, as God's children, the various strengths and gifts and talents and personalities that we each have? My family would be completely different had it not been these two. In fact, this past year with this one, off in college, our family was really different. Every one of you here in this room, as a child of God, you have a gift and a purpose and a talent and a calling, and each one of you is incredibly important, even middle children. Even introverts who want to rise up together but separate, right? In your own homes. And I can say that because I'm an introvert too. Each one of you is important. 1 Corinthians 12 says that we're all created differently and that not one piece is more important than the other. Your differences as children of God are so very, very important and are to be celebrated. And I encourage you, whatever your gift and talent is, use it to bless the family of God and to bless the world as well. And because my kids are so incredibly different from each other, my wife and I did not parent our kids the same way. This is something that Parker still is probably a little salty about. With Gianna, when she did something wrong, all we had to do was give her the look. The look that was, I don't know, half angry, but mostly just sad. And it would cause you to melt, wouldn't it? Yeah. With Parker, it often required more aggressive and higher, louder, aggressive communication. Now, Parker, I do have to confess something to you, though, that I don't know if I've ever told you this. There were times that we would be having aggressive communication with you, and you would have to go to your room, and I would look at Mom and be like, "How was that?"
Oh, I knew that.
Gianna knew that. Played ya. All right, so. We did not parent our kids the same because these are two very, very different people. If we parented Gianna the way that we had to parent Parker, wow, it would not have worked whatsoever. And as children of God, we can look at the pathway that God has for... Oh, hey. Was that thank you for not parenting the same way?
Yeah,
there we go. But we can look at the different paths that our lives have taken, and we can say, I want my path to have been like that person's. God, why did you allow me to go through this? And they only went through that. But see, God is God the Father, and He will parent us and raise us up in the way that is beneficial, actually, to us. In fact, say this verse with me, Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Do you believe that? Like, in your soul, believe that? Not that God will work everything for my good, but that God will work all things for good for those who love Him. That means that sometimes we're going to have to go through things and go through growing pains in order to be the best person that we can be, so that we can then bless others. As the verse says, God has called you according to His purpose. And so for that way, God will raise you up differently than He raises somebody else up, so that your talents and gifts can shine and bless others. That's why we parented you guys differently. We don't want the two of you just to be mini clones of us. We want you to be the best that you can be. And so, Parker, that's why we were aggressive in our communication with you. But Mom and I are both very proud of you and who you are and who you're becoming. And hopefully we did okay. So, love you.
Love you.
All right, can they work together? 1 John 3, verse 1. See how very much our Father loves us, for He calls us His children. And that is what we are. That is your identity. It's not your career, it's not your accomplishments, politics, or even your trauma. Those are part of your story, but that is not your identity. Those stories make up your life's plot, and many of those stories have been shaped and placed there by God, and He's even allowed you to go through some of these things so that He can use you to the best purposes in this world, based on the experiences that have filled your story. But first and foremost, you are a child of God. Let's pray. Father God, once again, forgive us for the times that our identity is found in our storyline. When we ask, who are we, Father God, may we always remember we are children of God, first and foremost. May we live our lives that way. Have all the other things in our lives flow out from that primary identity. Forgive us for when we look for other things in this world to be our identity markers. Thank you for your grace and the times that you bring us back. In Jesus' name, amen.